Amen, 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 amen. Look to somebody and tell somebody, say, in Jesus, you look good. Amen, 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 amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Tell somebody, say, just be glad and rejoice in it. Come on, come on, just look at them. Tell them, just be glad and rejoice in it. Amen, amen, amen. Eternal God, our Father, we come to you now to thank you for this day that belongs to you and all that is in it. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, God. We thank you now, God, for what our hearts have felt and are feeling and will feel as a result of your mighty manifested presence in this place. We thank you now, God, that as I stand up before your people, O God, that you allow yourself to be seen and your word to be heard and your will to be done in this place. Now, Holy Spirit, stand up. Stand up in me that all that will hear that which the Lord has to say. We thank you now that thy word goes forth as seed into good ground. We thank you for clear articulation. We thank you that right now your word comes forth not void of power, unhindered and unchecked. And you are pleased, O God, with all that is done here today. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, how many of you are ready for the word? Amen, 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 amen. Somebody told me, said, you know what, I look forward to four Sundays. I'm like, well, you ought to look forward to every Sunday. They said, well, I do, I look forward to every Sunday. They said, but we know you're going to have something just interesting. So I will not let you down. Tell somebody, say, he will not let you down. Amen, 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 amen. Go with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, there in Acts chapter 16, our foundational scripture for this month of celebrating the power of praise. Tell somebody, say, we're celebrating the power of praise. Come on, tell somebody else, say, we're celebrating the power of praise. There in Acts chapter 16. When you get there, mark it. And let's get ready for our Bible confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. My life is all the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Celebrating the power of praise. From these verses today, me hearing people say strange things. Y'all know I have a problem when people start saying stuff and it doesn't make sense to me. Y'all understand that, right? And so this morning I got one for you. I need you to look at somebody with an attitude, really. And just tell them, say, turn up. Yeah. Turn up. Something about the way people say things that intrigue me. Something about the way that people find these phrases to use in society that even sometimes bother me. And the most outrageous things that seem silly and grammatically broken drive me to find meaning. By nature, I'm an inquisitive individual. Some people like to just plainly put it, he's just plain out nosy. Oh yeah, I got some sisters and brothers in the house. But I like to sound important, so I'll call myself inquisitive. And it is this inquisitiveness that's in my nature that drives me to find out what is it that causes folks to say, turn up. I'm in class and my students are saying, oh, he turn up. I didn't eat no turnips. That's what I'm thinking to myself. And so of course I look to find out what is this all about. And so I ask the question, what does this mean? I wonder why people so quickly jump into saying things just because other folks are saying them. I wonder why people jump on bandwagons when they don't even know if it's got wheels or not. And so I did what I do best and I asked, what does this mean? For the scripture says, seek and ye shall, knock and the door will. So I asked God, what does this mean? Where is the value in such a phrase for your people? God then reminds me that everything has value. So I find that this phrase used in many variations means to get hype, to get excited, to get wild. And God speaks to me and says, turn up. Yeah. You need to tell somebody right now, you need to turn up. Yeah. When it comes to praising God, it's something that we all can do. No matter why, God has been good to you. I'll say that again. No matter why, God has been good to you. Not only has God been good to you, God is being. I only got a couple of folks that can testify that God is. In other words, this very moment in time, right now, where I'm at, what I'm going through, God is. I believe somebody's going to turn up in here because God is being. God is goddess, yeah. And then not only has he been good, but God will be good to you. So I praise God just because of how good he is. So here we find Paul and Silas locked in jail, and they decided to go in. Tell somebody, say, you got to go in. Yeah. They are there in jail for no reason that makes sense. And they decide to go in and turn up. In jail. Turn it up. Some of y'all missed that prophetic word for your life right there. In jail. Okay, a couple of y'all got that. Yeah. Praise is one of humanity's many responses to God's revelation of himself. Yeah, it's often been said that when we praise God, for what he's done, for what he's doing. We worship God for who he is, for his very nature and essence, for his glory. That's why we worship God. We worship God because God is a healer. We worship God because God is a deliverer. We worship God because God is a savior. But we praise him, my God, because of how he has healed me. We praise him because how he has delivered me. We praise him because how he saved me from my muck and my... That's why praise goes along with worship. Yeah. So I praise God because of his actions. I praise God because of what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do for me. And so we see Paul and Silas are in jail. And they turn up when it comes to their praise. When I turn up my praise. Tell somebody, say, when I turn up my praise. The first thing that happens is there is a disturbance that I cause in the atmosphere. Oh, yeah. When I turn up my praise, there is a disturbance that is caused in the atmosphere. The scripture says that God inhabits. Let me say that again. The scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So let's look at this for a moment. Paul and Silas are in jail. And the scripture says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Is that what the scripture says? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Okay, so some of y'all still ain't got that. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. So can I make a note here? They didn't start at midnight. No. It was just observed that when midnight came around, when they should have been asleep, somebody noticed that Paul and Silas were not asleep, but they were praying and singing songs of praise, and something happened. Something happened in the atmosphere. Can I submit to you that you don't need to wait until that very moment, but you need to be praying and singing and giving thanks to God. And look, it don't matter if somebody notices, but when they notice, wherever you are, they'll be able to say, like they said about Paul and Silas, at midnight. At midnight, they were praying, and when they started praying, first thing that happened was there was a violent earthquake. When I pray and when I disturb the atmosphere, I understand that my praise sets things into motion. Tell somebody, say, when I need you to touch yourself. When I need God to move on my behalf, I need to be praising him. I need to be praising. Yeah. Tell somebody, say, I need to be praising him. Yeah. When I need God to do something, I need to be praising him. When I want to acknowledge something that he's already done. You know, it's interesting how God does stuff for you and you don't never give him any acknowledgments. Yeah. We are of a mindset that we've got to wait until God does something big for us to give him praise. But you know what I learned? I learned to give God praise with small things. Yeah, I do. I go to the mall, I go to Walmart or wherever else I'm going to shop, and I'm looking for a parking space and somebody to pull out just so I can pull in. Lord, I want to just, that I ain't got to walk so far to the front door. Yeah. I praise God in the small list of things and acknowledge God. I know that this was nobody but. Yeah. I disturb the atmosphere when I expect Not when I'm just thinking about it, but when I expect. Tell somebody, say, you've got to start expecting God. Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. Many of us want God to do stuff for us, but not enough of us. Yeah. Not enough of us expect God. See, when I expect something, that means that my faith is pushing so hard that it has no choice but to. See. Some people don't have a job because they just want one. They don't expect to get a job. They just want one. Watch this. Can I prove my point? Parents, our children expect us to give them whatever they want. And some of us are crazy enough. I ain't by myself. Yeah. They don't just want stuff. They have a level of expect. God is telling you, I need you just to expect me to do what I said that I would do for you. And just go ahead and praise me because you expect me to show up and show out. And so here in the scripture, we see that the Paul and Silas are praying because they're expecting God to do something. They don't just need him to do it, but they're expecting him to do it. Now watch this. I told you my praise disturbs the atmosphere. Where you are does, but it doesn't matter. Let me clear that up. Where you are does matter, but where you are, it really doesn't matter. Tell somebody, say, where you are, it really doesn't matter, but it kind of does. Yeah. If you read back up there, it says, if you go back up a few verses, there in verse 22, it says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. I don't just want to humiliate them, but I want to make them feel some pain. So they ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. Watch this. And the jailer was commanded to guard them. How? Carefully. And watch. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. If you read some translations, that inner cell is translated to the word dungeon. So they put them in the center of the jail down below. Where you are really doesn't matter. Because, tell somebody, say, because. Because God is an omnipresent God. Yeah, because God is omnipresent, it doesn't matter where I am, God is there with me. Oh yeah, see, I need for you to convince somebody that God is there with you. I need for you to make somebody believe that God is wherever you are. Yeah. Because God is omnipresent, it doesn't matter if I'm on the mountains of Afghanistan or if I'm in the valleys of the Sudan, God is. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, but it does. It matters because, watch this, where I am allows things to happen that may not ordinarily happen. Yeah. As we begin to read the scripture there, it says that Paul and Silas began to pray. No, they were praying. They were praying and they were singing. Don't know what time they began it, but around midnight when it was noticed, they were praying and they were singing. And then suddenly. Tell somebody to say suddenly. Somebody snap your fingers like this. Suddenly. At once. Immediately. without notice, there was a violent shake. The earth began to quake. And watch this. Here is why it matters, because whenever there is an earthquake, they always go back to the epicenter. Some folks understand it. They go back to the epicenter. They want to find out, where did it start? Because if I identify where it starts based upon the magnitude, in other words, the measuring number of the earthquake, it will tell how far it went out. Because they were in the inner part of the jail, because they were in the center, when the earthquake struck, it had to go. We're celebrating the power of praise, right? And so it's at this moment in which they're praying and singing. The earth gets disturbed. The atmosphere gets bothered because they're expecting God to do something. And I don't know what they were saying. I don't know if they were saying, Lord, we need you to come by here and take off these chains. I don't know if they said, Lord, just open the door and let us go out. I don't know what they were saying, but whatever they were saying, God sends an earthquake. When an earthquake comes, it shook the foundations. Scripture says, such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The foundation of the prison was shaken. They are there in the inner parts of the prison, praying and singing. And the foundation of the entire prison. Can anybody just imagine that for a moment? They're in the dungeon. Possibly the deepest, darkest, most secured area in the prison. Praying, singing, shouting, trusting, believing, knowing, exalting, extolling, reverencing the Most High God, and the foundations of the entire prison are shaken by an earthquake that is coming because they decided to turn up. Yeah. And it shook so hard that the foundations were shaken. Can I submit to you that wherever you are, if you start praising God, there will be an earthquake to come in your situation. And your foundation. I don't care what your foundation is. If you start praising God, I expect some shaking in you. Tell somebody, say, turn up. Yeah. Sit down. Yeah, when you turn up, you'll disturb the atmosphere and you'll shake the foundations. This next thing that'll happen is when the foundations get shaken, tell somebody, say, doors will open. Yeah. You know, you have been waiting on some stuff. You got some things that have been behind closed doors. Okay, so some of y'all, all right, I got it. Y'all all right. But I got some stuff that's been behind closed doors. I've got some situations locked away in a dungeon somewhere, and so I decided in my mind that I'm just going to praise God. I'm going to praise Him despite how I feel, despite where I'm at. I could be in the Walmart line, $2 in my pocket, $4 worth of bills, and I'm just going to praise.
Y'all quit messing with me. Whatever it is that you got locked away behind closed doors, I just dare you to praise God. Now, why is that important? That's important because there are some doors you just can't open. Tell somebody, say, there's some doors you just can't open. No. See, y'all didn't get that. There's some doors you just can't open. And so, if you got some of those doors and you realize that you can't open them, you'll understand what God and Isaiah's conversation was in Isaiah chapter 22 when God makes it clear that I'll open doors. Uh-oh, y'all ain't read that scripture? When I open a door, no man. See, some of y'all waiting to praise them. You should have been up praying. Those doors that have been closed, when God opens them, no man can. And then he comes back around after he gets the door open. He says, but when I close it, baby, no man's going to open it. So whatever it is, Paul and Silas say, we just praying and we just singing, and all of a sudden this earthquake comes, the foundations get shaken, and the doors swing open. They didn't just creak open. It says the earthquake was so violent that the doors flew open. God is trying to throw open some doors for you. Now, see, I'm proving a point right now. But because you got these patty plate claps, because you got these sophisticated looks, because you got this, it doesn't take all that. You can't get no earthquake that'll cause the foundations to shake, that'll cause the door to. You want a job? Praise God in advance. You want your relationship fixed? Praise God in advance. You got a financial situation? Praise God in advance. Watch the earthquake come. Shake that foundation. And and watch your doors swing open. Tell somebody to say, turn up. Finally, when you turn up, when you get wild, when you get excited, when you get triumphant, when you get jubilant about your praise, your chains. I'm going to preach in this section over here. Your chains, the shackles that's been on your feet. Oh, y'all, what's been holding you down? What's kept you from being able to move? Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to praise him now? Watch this. Not just your chains, but the chains of other folks around. Woo! Can somebody just turn up in here right now. Woo! Hey! So Paul and Silas got to praying and singing, and the earthquake came, the door flew open, and everybody in the prison chains fell. Pastor Mike said, when I get free, you gotta get free. Because the God I serve is a liberating God. Just turn up. God, whatever Paul and Silas were praying for, whatever they were praying about, in my theological mind, I can hear God saying, okay, I'm going to do this for you. But you got to understand, you ain't the only one that's going to be blessed by the blessing I'm fixing to give to you. Can I submit to you that some of your praise ain't just about you? Some of your praise is to get other folks free. Some of your praise is to get other folks blessed. Your praise is to get other folks healed. Your praise is to get other folks delivered. Your praise is to get other folks set free. Just turn up. Yeah. Woo! Ha ha. Yeah. Yeah, you can praise them right there. Ha ha. Yeah. Some of y'all may catch this when you get home. Some of you may not understand it when you get home. But I just dare you to turn up in here right now. I dare you to think about where you are and where you want to be and just praise God. Yeah. Turn up. Yeah. Sit down. Yeah. Because of what happened, the jail woke up. And the first thing that went through his mind was, I gotta kill myself now. But because of the anointing that was going on in the prison, Paul and Silas said, don't hurt yourself. Your praise is gonna save somebody else. Tell somebody, say, I dare you to turn up. Yeah, I dare you to turn up. Some of you don't understand that you just disturbed the atmosphere. Some of you don't understand that you just called an earthquake to get ready to start in your life. Some of you don't understand that the foundations upon which your situation is resting is starting to shake right now for you. Some of you are already seeing that the door
chains are falling.
Scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can I just take this a step further? I got somebody I hadn't touched yet. So I know I'm over time, but I gotta bless somebody with this, because I wasn't going to talk about this part of it, but since we go turn up, and the scripture says on further down that after Paul and Silas told the jailer, don't hurt yourself. Hey, stop. Hey, ain't nobody gone. I know you think that because of how God has moved and you really don't know what's going on, that everybody that you were in charge of is gone. Don't hurt yourself. Then it says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household. Some of you are trying to get your family saved. If you just turn up right now, say, you ain't gonna get saved, but your whole house is gonna get saved. So then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. So I was about to say, at that time of night? Yeah, at that time of night, he took them and he washed their wounds. He took them and washed their wounds. The scripture says, when it was daylight. Scripture says, weeping may endure for a night. Morning, joy will come. And it says that morning, somebody say that morning. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release them. Now, it's interesting. God has already freed them. Now, the folks that put them in jail are following up on what God has already done. Watch this. When God frees you, can't nobody hold you. They got to rent. Okay. I still ain't got down your row yet. Okay, here we go. So he sends the word to release them. So the jailer told Paul and the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Get out of here, man. Y'all can go. Say, now y'all can leave. It's funny. All this is going on. The jailer about to kill himself. And then the word comes out. He said, okay, now y'all can leave. You done got me and my household saved. Now you can go. Paul says, they beat us without a trial. I think I'm going to get on somebody's road here. They beat us publicly without a trial. Even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us quietly. Some of y'all still ain't got it. Paul said, no. They embarrass me in front of everybody. They talked about me all across the internet. They wrote my name in the skies and talked about all the wrong that I had done. They lied on me. They made me have a bad name among the good people that I serve with. They fired me for no just cause. They took my name and all the work that I had done and took credit for it. No. Let them come themselves and escort us out of here. The officers reported this back to the magistrates, and when they heard what Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they got scared. Some folks don't know that you are a child of the Most High God. But because you decided to turn up and the situations around you started to change, it didn't just change stuff for you, but a whole lot of other folks' stuff got changed. Says they came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave. Takes me back to a place in the Old Testament. But David said he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, the problem with that is, many of you don't want your enemies around. But the scripture says that God's going to prepare a table before you. All of the good stuff, all of the finer things of life, God is going to put it out before you. And all the enemies that thought you couldn't have it. Oh, y'all don't want to praise him? All your enemies that said you shouldn't have it. All the enemies that said you couldn't have it. They gotta sit there and watch God bless. As I go to my seat, wherever you are, whatever your situation is, can I just encourage you to turn up? It doesn't matter who sees you. Turn up. The interesting thing is, you don't want folks to see you, but somebody's going to see you. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries, hallelujah! Thank God for saving me! Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. There's somebody in here today. Yeah, I'm expecting you to get up today. I'm expecting you to hear God. Somebody in here today, and you're in need of getting in that place to where God can bless you. God is ready to free you and release you from the shackles and the bondage that has held you down. So if you're here today and you say, today I'm ready to give my life to God, so that the prisons of my life can no longer hold me. So if you're today, you say, while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, I want to become a part of the family of God. If you're here today, say, I want to be saved. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, right where you are, raise your hand. I know you're in here.
I just told you, it doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter who's around you. Doesn't matter where you are, but it kind of does. Yeah. Right now, it doesn't matter that you're in here. But it does. Because your whole household can be waiting on you to get saved. You hear you say, I made some mistakes. I've gotten some things wrong. Does God still love me? Can and will God bless me? Listen, God loves you. He created you. You haven't always obeyed. You haven't always gotten it right. But he wants you to know, hey, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And you're saying, does he really love me? Listen, if you want to be reassured that God still loves you, he is forgiving you and will forgive you for your sins, while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed right where you are, raise your hand. You say, I've gotten some things wrong. Does God still love me? I see your hand. I see your hand. Does he really care about me that much? Is God really, really waiting on me to turn up and just go wild? Yeah, he is. He is. So if you're here today, you say, well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed right where you are. Raise your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Third invitation I want to give to you today is I want to give you an invitation to become a part of a church family. A Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Church is building people of love, purpose, and power through the teaching of the Word of God. And listen, what Bishop Lewis and Dr. Wilhelmina are teaching here, it is the Word of God. And the Word of God, as they teach it to you, it will bless and change your life. And you'll have the foundations of your life shaking and changing. You'll become free because you'll have the Word deep down inside. So here today, say, yeah, I want that kind of church home where I can be taught the Word of God with clarity and with simplicity so that I can have an understanding. For the Scripture says that out of all of thy getting to get an understanding. You say, yes, that's the type of church home I'm looking for. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, right where you are, raise your hand. I see your hand.